Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this very day in which year that Thomas Edison patented the phonograph? Was that A, 1877, B, 1906, C, 1925, or D, 1942? Thomas Edison patented the phonograph. And it was on this day, back in 1977, that which film starring John Travolta premiered in New York City? Hint, here's the Bee Gees snippet from that soundtrack. Sound familiar? So what was the name of that film? Think Disco. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com. And today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December the 14th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1770 that composer Ludwig von Beethoven was born. As indicated by Encyclopedia Britannica, Beethoven is widely regarded as the greatest composer who ever lived. He revealed more vividly than any of his predecessors the power of music to convey a philosophy of life without the aid of a spoken text. His personal life was marked by a heroic struggle against encroaching deafness, and some of his most important works were composed during the last 10 years of his life, when he was quite unable to hear. 1770 today. And it was 74 years ago today, 1944, that a single-engine plane carrying big band leader Glenn Miller disappeared in thick fog over the English Channel while en route to Paris. Miller, an army major, is believed to have boarded a plane in England as a passenger. The plane was bound for France, where Miller was planning a performance for Allied troops. The plane was flying low because of poor visibility. When fuel lines froze, the engine stopped, giving the plane's pilot about 8 seconds to react before it plunged into the water. Because the plane was constructed of mostly lightweight materials, it probably disintegrated on impact, killing those aboard instantly. Another theory, one that's more widely accepted, is that the plane Miller was flying in was destroyed by friendly fire. Regardless, traces of the plane and its passengers have never been found. Roseanne Cash's A Feather's Not a Bird introduces our country music news. This is an article written by Will Hermes, and it's titled Reality Country. Singer-songwriters spin tales of love, death, and Percocet. It's a review of three albums in this Rolling Stone December 2018 issue. The first album is Pistol Annie's. Interstate Gospel, it's given 4 out of a possible 5 stars. Doug Paisley's Starter Home, it's given 3.5 out of 5 stars. And last but not least, Roseanne Cash. Her new album, She Remembers Everything, given 4 full stars out of 5 possible. Roseanne Cash convenes her own power trio on 8 Gods of Harlem. A standout from She Remembers Everything, that it lists Kris Kristofferson and Elvis Costello to pen and sing verses in a narrative involving a young man's death. We pray to the God of collateral children, sings Cash, haunted by headlines of failed gun safety legislation and senseless human loss. She's a literary writer. See the story collection, Bodies of Water, and her memoir, Composed. And she goes deep on this set, sometimes conjuring autobiography, Everyone But Me, involving the loss of a mother and father. Sometimes, from a third person remove, the title track, resonant in light of hashtag Me Too and the Kavanaugh hearings. Every human has a daddy issue. Cashes are particular to life in a country music dynasty, but they don't define her art, however much they inform it. She's a writer at the top of her game.
Took the long way home just to end up in your arms. That's why I'm going down to Florence now. I got my pretty
Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata introduces our classical music news. It's an article entitled Instrumental Storytelling Reflection, The Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. This is published in moonlightsonata.co.uk and allaboutbeethoven.com. The Piano Sonata No. 14 in C-sharp minor, Opus 27, No. 2, popularly known as the Moonlight Sonata, is a famous classical piece that communicates a story without lyrics. It is a piano sonata by Ludwig van Beethoven, one of the most influential musicians in late 18th century. The name, Moonlight Sonata, is given 5 years after Beethoven's death for that moonlight shining effect in the first movement. This sonata consists of 3 movements. It is significant in the way the layout of this work does not follow the traditional movement arrangement in the classical period of fast, slow, fast. Instead, the first movement is played very quietly, pianissimo. It has made a powerful impression on many listeners. For instance, Berlioz said of it that it is one of those poems that human language does not know how to qualify. This beginning movement is more like an introduction or a prelude. The second movement is a bit faster, and it's moving forward to the next movement. It plays a role of connecting the first and third movements. Franz Liszt called it a flower between two chasms. Beethoven placed the most important final stormy movement in the last. This movement is the most unbridled in its representation of emotion. Even today, 200 years later, its ferocity is astonishing. The writing of this movement contains lots of strongly accented notes and dynamic changes. Beethoven used crescendo a lot to move the passage from piano to fortissimo and to create the sense of a very powerful sound. The most amazing part of this piano sonata is its dynamic changes throughout the whole music. The emotion goes from quiet and somber to strong and powerful. I think that its name, Moonlight Sonata, is kind of misleading to Beethoven's primary intention. He composed this sonata in 1801 when his deafness was getting serious. Beethoven was also madly in love with Giulietta. The depressive state with which was afflicting Beethoven at this time was well reflected in the somber funeral tone of the first movement, which has nothing to do with any romantic notions of moonlight. Beethoven was narrating his own story. Although there's no lyrics, we can still interpret the meaning behind it. A remix of Dean Martin singing Baby It's Cold Outside introduces our pop music news. It's entitled Baby It's Cold Outside, Not a Date Rape Song, says daughter of the 1940s songwriter. Scott McDonald, published on the 8th of December 2018 in Newsweek magazine. Sort of a swing and pop music category. A woman whose father wrote the Christmas song Baby It's Cold Outside said people have the meaning of the song all wrong. She said the song has no correlation to date rape or any reasons why it was probably shelved at one radio station. Susan Lozer, 74, told NBC this week that her father, Frank Lozer, had no ill will when he wrote the song in 1944 for him and his wife to sing at Christmas parties. Susan went as far to blame Bill Cosby for music listeners getting so politically correct that a Cleveland radio station pulled the song from its rotation of Christmas music. Bill Cosby ruined it for everybody, Susan Lozer told NBC. Way before hashtag Me Too, I would hear from time to time people call it a date rape song. I would get annoyed because it's a song my father wrote for him and my mother to sing at parties. But ever since Cosby was accused of drugging women, I hear the date rape thing all the time. WDOK, Christmas 102.1 FM in Cleveland, confirmed last week it pulled the song from its rotation after getting complaints from listeners who claim the song conjured undertones of sexual harassment. In the age of the hashtag MeToo movement, it appears the lyrics written more than 70 years ago didn't sit well in today's world. For example, one part of the song has the female singer saying, "What's in this drink?" Though someday it eerily relates to Bill Cosby drugging women's drink, Susan Lozer said the time frame of the song's text is more geared for those in the 1940s and 50s. I think it would be good if people looked at the song in the context of the time, she said. People used to say, "What's in this drink?" as a joke, you know. The drink is going straight to my head, so what's in this drink? Back then, it didn't mean you drugged me. The song is about a woman inside a man's home, and she says it's time to go home. But the man tries convincing her to stay, saying it's cold outside. For each reason she gives to leave, he tells her it's too cold, or he somehow blames the weather as to why she should stay. Though the song was supposedly written for Christmas parties, it's been recorded by some top artists over the last 50 years. They include Dean Martin, who's singing it in the background now, Sammy Davis Jr. and Carmen McRae, Lady Gaga, Michael Bublé, Bing Crosby and Doris Day, as well as many others. People might say, "Oh, enough with that hashtag Me Too." But if you really put that aside and listen to the lyrics, it's not something I would want my daughter to be in that kind of situation, WDOK said. The tune might be catchy, but let's maybe not promote that sort of an idea. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So what do we have this year in music technology? Four gifts that rock. The coolest music tech and fashion for the holidays that won't break the bank. And this is published in Rolling Stone magazine, December 2018. Item number one, Better Buds, the aluminum-bodied One More Quad Driver in-ear headphones offer epic noise-isolating surround sound, thanks to the design work of famed sonic engineer Luca Vignardi. Go to usa.onemore.com. They sell for $199. Then there's stylish speakers. The Tivoli Andiamo outclasses scores of look-alike portable Bluetooth competitors, putting out booming sound to match its sleek solidity. Go to Tivoli Audio, that's one word, .com. Once again, $199 for this item as well. And then number three, vinyl goes wireless. The wireless Yamaha MusicCast Vinyl 500 turntable is a clutter-free sound system all its own, sending a signal straight to its compatible speakers, no cables needed. You can even use it to stream your preferred music services. Go to usa.yamaha.com. This costs $700. And then finally, a podcasting mic to make you sound pro. The easy-to-use Blue Yeti Nano microphone produces broadcast-quality audio with plug-and-play operation for instant streaming to a Mac or PC. Go to bluedesigns.com. This sells for $100. The Beach Boys, the man with all the toys, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's Brian Wilson versus Mike Love in a very Beach Boys Xmas. The two cousins will each hit the Christmas circuit this year with separate holiday tours. More than 50 years after the Beach Boys sang this song playing in the background now, Brian Wilson and Mike Love are both doing holiday concerts, yet another strange chapter in rock's longest-running dysfunctional family saga. On his month-long Yuletide tour, Wilson is performing the Beach Boys' 1964 Christmas album in full. Love and his iteration of the Beach Boys will tour in support of his solo album, Reason for the Season. Unlike Wilson's show, Love's will include the beloved Yuletide carol, Kokomo. These two cousins have been anything but together in recent years. In 2012, the Beach Boys' 50th reunion tour crashed and burned when Love issued a surprise press release saying he was ditching his mates. Wilson responded, "It sort of feels like we're being fired." The two of them released competing memoirs in 2016, giving wildly contradictory accounts of their years together. Wilson has spent the past 2 years performing the full-scale Pet Sounds. Will he ever do a tour dedicated to Wild Honey or, today, how about Surf's Up, Sunflower? Love, on the other hand, has been working harder than usual to live up to his ornery reputation, recently stopping by the White House to give a bizarre speech alongside Donald Trump. "You've always been a big supporter of some of the best music America has ever made," Love told the president. "I remember you tried your best to get Whitney Houston into some kind of shape." Houston, who sang Do You Hear What I Hear on 1987's A Very Special Christmas, was unavailable for comment. Wilson and Love might be blood relatives, but that's part of why we obsess over the Beach Boys. The shy, tormented boy genius who wrote California Girls, and the cocky frontman who sang it. It's some kind of cosmic prank that they're doomed to make music together. Let's face it, the holiday season means two things you can count on. Number one, agonizing over the obnoxious cousin who drives you insane. And number two, hearing Jingle Bell Rock. For a Beach Boy fan, it means both at the same time. And this has been written by Rob Sheffield and published in Rolling Stone magazine, the December 2018 edition. Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement, introduces our local music news from WCPE.org's Crescendo, December 2018. Beethoven Fest, December 14 to 16, that's this coming weekend. It truly is something to ponder how the troubled mind of Ludwig von Beethoven could create music that so beautifully celebrates the best of humanity. It's even more remarkable to consider that the increasingly deaf composer heard his greatest works only in the concert hall of his own imagination. Each year, WCPE Radio, the classical station, spends 3 days in tribute to this lonely man from Bonn, playing his symphonies, sonatas, concertos, and more, culminating in the glorious Ninth Symphony on the presumed day of his birth. So how did you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question? It was on this very day in which year that Thomas Edison patented the phonograph. Was that way back in 1877? Or was it B, 1900? Or was it C, 1925? Or D, 1942? And the correct answer is answer A, 1877. As noted in americaslibrary.gov, Thomas Edison created many inventions, but his favorite was the phonograph. While working on improvements to the telegraph and the telephone, Edison figured out a way to record sound on tinfoil-coated cylinders. In 1877, he created a machine with two needles, one for recording and one for playback. When Edison spoke into the mouthpiece, the sound vibrations of his voice would be indented into the cylinder by the recording needle. Edison suggested other uses for the phonograph, such as letter writing and dictation, phonographic books for blind people, a family record recording family members in their own voices, music boxes and toys, clocks that announce the time, and a connection with the telephone so communications could be recorded. In 1917, when the U.S. became involved in World War I, the Edison Company created a special model of the phonograph for the U.S. Army. This basic machine sold for $60. Many Army units purchased these phonographs because it meant a lot to the soldiers to have music to cheer them and remind them of home. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1977 that which film starring John Travolta premiered in New York City? And I played a Bee Gees snippet from that soundtrack as a hint. Correct answer, Saturday Night Fever. And as noted in mentalfloss.com on December 12, 2017, we can tell by the way you use your walk that you're a fan of Saturday Night Fever, the 1977 blockbuster that made John Travolta a megastar and brought disco into the mainstream. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is a matter of opinion. To enhance your appreciation of what was the highest-grossing dance movie of all time until Black Swan in 2010, Most of the film had already been shot when the Bee Gees were commissioned to write songs for it. The brothers, only modestly successful at that point and hard at work on their next album, didn't even know what the movie was about, but cranked out a few tunes in a weekend. They also repurposed several songs they'd been working on, including Stayin' Alive, the song that opened today. A demo version of which was prepared in time to be used in filming the opening strut sequence. You'll notice Travolta struts in sync with the music. So, if the movie's signature songs didn't come until later, what were the cast members listening to when they shot the dance scenes? According to Travolta, it was Boz Scaggs and Stevie Wonder. So, let's close out today's program with a musical recognition, not of that movie, but of the fact of something else that happened on this very day. Because back in 1980, Yoko Ono called for a 10-minute silent vigil around the world for John Lennon, her husband, who was shot to death 6 days earlier. Over 100,000 people went to Central Park in New York to honor the request. 1980. So, here's Lennon's So This Is Christmas. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.